Such brotherly affection, truly Christian in practice as long as the Church can remember, has traditionally sought a special efficacy from the Mother of God, since she has been the foremost promoter of peace and unity. Saint Germain of Constantinople addresses this prayer to her. Be mindful of Christians who are thy servant. Commend the prayers of all. Help all to realize their hopes. Strengthen the faith. Keep the Church in unity. And to this day the Greeks beseech her in this manner. O Virgin most pure, whose privilege it is to approach thy Son without fear of rebuff, beseech him, O Virgin most holy, to grant peace to the world and to breathe into the churches of Christendom one mind and one heart, and we shall all magnify thee. There is another special reason why Mary will be favorably disposed to grant our united prayers in behalf of the nations cut off from the communion with the Church, namely, the prodigious things that have been done for her honor in the past, especially in the East. To them is due much of the credit for propagating and increasing devotion to her. From them have come some of the best-remembered heralds and champions of her dignity, who have wielded a mighty influence by their authority or by their writings, eulogists, famed for their ardor and the charm of their eloquence, Empress, well-beloved of God, who imitated the Virgin most pure in the example of their lives, and paid honor to her with lavish generosity, temples and basilicas built to her glory with regal splendor. And we may here add a detail not foreign to our subject and reflecting further glory upon the Mother of God. It is common knowledge that, under the changing fortunes of the time, great numbers of venerable images of Our Lady have been brought from the East to the West, most of them finding their way to Italy and to Rome. Our forebears received them with deepest respect and venerated them with magnificent honors, and their descendants, emulating their piety, continue to cherish these images as highly sacred treasures. It is a delight for the mind to discover in this fact the approval and the favor of a mother wholly devoted to her children, for it seems to indicate that these images have been left in our midst as witness of the ages when the entire Christian family was held together by ties of absolute unity, and as so many precious pledges of our common inheritance. The very sight of them must needs invite souls, as though the Virgin herself were bidding them, to keep in devout remembrance those whom the Catholic Church calls with loving care back to the peace and gladness which they formerly... enjoyed within her embrace. And so in Mary, God has given us the most zealous guardian of Christian unity. There are, of course, more ways than one to win her protection by prayer, but as for us, we think that the best and most effective way to her favor lies in the rosary. We have elsewhere brought to it attention of the devout Christian, and not least among the advantages of the rosary is the ready and easy means it puts in his hands to nurture his faith and to keep him from ignorance of his religion and the danger of error. The very origin of the rosary makes that plain. When such faith is exercised by vocally repeating the Our Father and the Hail Mary of the rosary prayers, or better still, in the contemplation of the mysteries, it is evident how close we are brought to Mary, for every time we devoutly say the rosary in supplication before her, we are once more brought face to face with the marvel of our salvation. We watch the mysteries of our redemption as though they were unfolding before our eyes, and as one follows another, Mary stands revealed at once as God's mother and our mother. The sublimity of that double dignity, the fruits of her twofold mystery, appear in vivid light when in devout meditation we think of Mary's share in the joyful, the sorrowful, and the glorious mysteries of her Son. The heart is inflamed by these reflections with a feeling of grateful love towards her, and esteeming everything beneath her as so much worthless chaff, strives with manful purpose to prove worthy of such a mother and the gifts she bestows. Meditation on the mysteries of the rosary, often repeated in the spirit of faith, cannot help but please her and move her, the fondest of mothers, to show mercy to her children. For that reason, we say that the Rosary is by far the best prayer by which to plead before her the cause of our separated brethren. To grant a favorable hearing belongs properly to her office of spiritual mother. For Mary has not brought forth, nor could she, those who are of Christ, except in the one same faith and in the one same love. For can Christ be divided? All must live the life of Christ in an organic unity in order to bring forth fruit to God in the one same body. Every one of the multitudes, therefore, whom the mischief of calamitous events has stolen away from that unity, must be born again to Christ of that same mother whom God has endowed with a never-failing fertility to bring forth a holy people. And this Mary, for her part, longs to do. Adorned by us with garlands of her favorite prayer, she will obtain by her entreaties help in abundance from the Spirit that quickeneth. God grant that they refuse not to comply with the burning desire of their merciful mother, but on the contrary, give ear, like men of good will, with a proper regard for their eternal salvation, to the voice, gently persuasive, which calls to them, My little children, of whom I am in labor again, until Christ be formed in you. Knowing what power Our Lady's Rosary possesses, not a few of our predecessors took special care to spread the devotion throughout the countries of the East, in particular Eugene IV in the Constitution Ad Vespera Scente, issued in 1439, and later Innocent XII and Clement XI. By their authority, privileges of wide extent were granted to the order of preachers in favor of this project. The hoped-for results were forthcoming, thanks to the energetic activity of the brethren of that order, result to which many a bright record bears witness, although time and adversity have since raised great obstacles in the way of further progress. Yet even today, the same zeal for the Rosary devotion, which we cited at the beginning of this letter, still fills the hearts of great numbers in those lands, a fact which, we trust, will be useful in the realization of our hopes as it was in raising them. Along with this hope, there is the joyful fact of equally importance to the East and West, and in keeping with the longing we have expressed, namely the plan, venerable brethren, which took form at the celebrated Eucharistic Congress held in Jerusalem, to build a shrine in honor of the Queen of the Most Holy Rosary at Petras in Achaia, not far from the places where at one time Christianity, under her patronage, shone brilliantly. For as we have with great pleasure learned from the committee which was organized with our approval to advance the project and to take charge of the work, most of you have already sent in contributions collected for this purpose and have promised to continue your help until the project has been completed. On the strength of this, it has been decided to begin work on a scale proportioned to the size of the undertaking, and we have granted permission for the laying of the first stone of the shrine at an early date with solemn ceremonies. The temple will stand as a monument of everlasting thanksgiving, erected in the name of the Christian people to their heavenly helper and mother. There she will be invoked unceasingly in the Greek and the Latin rites. Ever more propitious, she will continue to heap new favors upon the ancient blessings. And now, venerable brethren, our exhortation returns to the point which it began. We may all, shepherds and flocks alike, fly with fullest confidence to the protection of the great Virgin, especially next month. Let them not fail to call upon her name, with one voice beseeching her as God's Mother, publicly and in private, by praise, by prayer, by the ardor of their desire, show thyself our mother. May her motherly compassion keep her whole family safe from every danger. Lead them in the path of genuine prosperity. Above all, establish in them holy unity. She looks upon Catholics of every nation with a kindly eye. Where the bond of charity joins them together, she makes them more ready, more and more determined, to uphold the honor of religion which, at the same time, brings upon the state of greatest blessings. May she look with utmost compassion upon those great and illustrious nations which are cut off from the church and upon the noble souls who have not forgotten their Christian duty. May she aspire in them most salutary desires, foster their holy aspirations, and bring them to happy completion. In the East, may that widespread devotion to her which the dissident nations profess, as well as the countless glorious acts of their ancestors in her honor, effectively aid them. In the West, may the memory of her beneficent patronage stand its dissidents in good stead. With surpassing kindness she has, through many ages, manifested her approval of, and has rewarded, the admirable devotion shown her among every class. May the peoples of the East and West, and all the others wherever they may be, profit by the suppliant voice of Catholics united in prayer, and by our voice, which will cry out to our last breath, "Show thyself a mother." Given at Rome at St. Peter's, the 5th day of September, in the 18th year of our pontificate.